A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to Eagle FM. If you're just joining us, thanks for choosing your number one talk radio station in the land. And you are welcome and good morning to you. So how was your commemoration of the Heroes Day? So what I happened to, there was something yesterday very emotional. I happened to tune in on NBC yesterday, and there was that I think it's a primary school or a school, and I think children, actually those school students, reciting the some kind of like a poem, but it's a mix of, you can't say, you say it's a poem, but it was very highly emotional, and well expressed, well executed. It was touching. It was, for me, it's the highlight. For me, it was the highlight of the event, actually, and it was really emotional for me, and listening to those children, it was the highlight for me, I must say. So how was the commemoration? How was the commemoration of the Heroes Day for you? Or what did you do? Maybe, hopefully, you haven't been just, you know, as I said, it's a commemoration, not a celebration. Yeah, so it's a commemoration. Haven't spent it. It's a public holiday, and you think, oh, okay, now I'm not going to work, so let me just have some of these. You know, I hope you haven't actually spent it on booze or anything like of that sort. It's a day for commemorating and remembering of our forefathers and remembering the heroes of our struggle. So, good morning to you. Our time is 6 minutes past the hour of eight. I will be with you until 10 o'clock. So my name is Marco Suveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here just to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation, so that you can also be part of the bigger conversation as well. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get get to the heart of the stories that are going around. So good morning to you, and if this is your first time, really getting on Eagle FM, welcome, and welcome to the family. And so today is the 27th of August. The month is almost coming towards the end. 27th of the August 2025. So let's get to our first segment on this day in Africa. So let's look at what happened on this day, what happened in the history of Africa on this day, on the 27th of August. So, yeah, the Anglo-Zanzibar War of 1896, which occurred on the 27th of August, is notable as the shortest war in recorded history. It was a brief military conflict lasting between 38 and 40, between 38 and 45 minutes between the United Kingdom and the Sultanate of Zanzibar. So this was started at, so the war started at 9 o'clock and ended around 9:40. So with the British ships bombarding the palace and Sultan Khalid fleeing after their artillery, was actually silenced. So this is the war, the shortest war recorded in history. So, and on the 27th of August, on this day, Emperor Haile Selassie the First, the long reigning head of state of Ethiopia from 1930 to 1974, died on this day in 1975. So the official account attributed to his death to a natural cause during a medical procedure, but later evidence suggests he may have been strangled on the orders of the military government, which actually deposed and placed him under the house arrest. So there are so many deaths that have took place on this day. Not so many. Another death on this day was the death of Louis Botha. Louis Botha is the first prime minister of the Union of South Africa. Died in office on the 27th of August in 1919. So he was succeeded by Jan Smuts, who assumed the role in early September 1919. So, and on the night of 26, we are still in South Africa, on the night of 26-27, August on 1986, South African police opened fire during a tenant rent boycott in Soweto, killing between 20 and 25 people and injuring more than 60 people. So, and today, the 27th of August, Mangosuthu Nkosazana Buthelezi, founder of the Inkatha Freedom Party in South Africa, and the later Minister of Home Affairs in South Africa, was born on the 27th August 1928. So Mangosuthu Nkosazana Buthelezi was actually born on the 27th of August 1928. Well, those are some of the significant historical event we have on this day in Africa. So, and today is Wednesday, the 27th of August. What is our thought for the day? What have we prepared? What is the thought? What is our thought for the day today? So the lazier a man is, the more he plans to do tomorrow. The lazier a man is, the more he plans to do tomorrow. So the proverb is that lazy people often delay tasks, convincing themselves they will handle them later. So the act of intending to do something tomorrow feels productive. Just the act of that, the act of intending to do something tomorrow feels productive, even if nothing ever happens. So laziness leads not to less planning, but to more future planning, you know, and thus less present doing. Nothing gonna happen. So the Proverbs warns against procrastination and the false comfort of tomorrow, in brackets, in inverted commas, plans. So the Proverb actually warns that against procrastination in the false comfort of tomorrow's plans. So, yeah, the lazier a man is, the more he plans to do tomorrow. So that's our thought for today. And hopefully that will guide your decision and the planning that you are doing. There should be a real plan that would be executed rather than just a plan that are postponed. Tomorrow I'll do that, tomorrow I'll do that, and that never ever happens. So, well, hopefully that helped you in making your choices and decision during the course of the day today. So good morning to you, and welcome to Eagle FM. So please remain connected. Remain connected with Eagle FM, and what you can do by remaining connected and listening to Eagle FM. So you can listen to the radio if you are in the area where there's where we still have frequency opened, and also you can listen to Eagle FM through our website. But you can also listen to Eagle FM through our Eagle FM mobile app, which you can actually download through the Google Play and also through the Play Store. So, and as I always said, on the Eagle FM app, we have so many stuff, so many reports. You can find quite a number of reports, and especially when it comes to business institutions, their report, we find them there. So make sure that you download the Eagle FM app, and you can be able to have access to all those information that are available there. Today is a Monday, and if you're looking for the latest, very latest business and economic news, get yourself a free copy of The Villager, and you don't have to do much at all, and this is all using your phone. What you need to do is just simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 08 241 44 08 241 44, and make sure that you save that number as a contact number. And as usual, as you know, The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So every Monday, Wednesday and Friday, if you subscribe, and it's simply, and you will just get it for free copy of The Villager with all this amount of information that you'll be getting. So yes, subscribe 081-241-44, and you will be receiving The Villager every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So, and please do follow Eagle FM and also The Villager. Follow us on our social media platforms, and make sure that you leave a like on or a comment on the information and updates that we bring you almost every minute. All right, and if you want to advertise your business, or you have an event or function or workshop or conference or anything at all that sometime you also want to expose via live streaming and or broadcasting, please do contact our office. Our office number is 083-288-400. So, very good morning to you. And coming up in our show today, on our program today, we're going to look at an article in the Villager today, in today's edition of The Villager. Sankwasa Nekundi tap into unfamiliar governance territory. Make sure that you tune into that. And we have also a very, very interesting story that we're going to cover on which looking at homeowners now are protected against home reposition. You know, if you want to find out please make sure that you stay tuned. And this is something that I have. If we still have time, this is something I keep postponing over and over and over because of course, we don't find time to put everything into the show. So the 9th Tokyo International Conference on Africa Development, Strategic Partnership or a Fragmented Engagement. That's an article that looking at the conference that took place in Tokyo, I mean in Japan. So on a very different, on a different angle. And I wanted us to look at that as well. So if we have time, we will still look at that. And if we don't, well, I think we'll see what we can do, tomorrow. All right. So as you can see, the show is really packed and stay tuned. We will be back in a short while.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
So very good morning to you if you're just joining us. This is Eagle FM and thanks for joining us and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company this very morning. Our time is about 21 minutes past the hour of 8. And welcome from wherever you are listening us from. You are welcome and you are tuned in Unpacking at the Day with your host, Mike Osoveli. Today, I want us to look at two of our ministers who have taken some rather decisive action, shaking up governance structure, in a way we haven't seen in a while. Maybe not in a while, we haven't seen it, something done by the minister, you know? So, One of the article in The Villager, in today's edition, there is a story by Anacleta Haikera. The headlines are screaming about Minister Nekundi of Works and Transport, dissolving the Engineering Council of Namibia, and Minister Sankwasa of Urban and Rural Development doing the same to the entire Katima Mulilo Town Councils. So the headlines, Sankwasa Nekundi tap into unfamiliar governance territory. Now, well, of course, we have seen all this taking place, unfolding, reading the article, it sounds like, you know, a real firm hand on the tail and cracking down on mismanagement. So yeah, on that level, on one level, that's the case. But always on Unpacking the Day, we don't just skim the headlines here. So we go deeper and we ask the tough questions and we look beyond what is immediately visible and really go a bit deeper. So, and let's start with Minister Nekundi and the Engineering Council of Namibia, or ECN. So we are told the ECN board has been dissolved Why? So the article, our article today, mentioned infighting and indecisiveness with leadership. Infighting and indecisiveness with leadership struggles over the years. So over the years. Now, this is the first point of for us to unpack already. So, you know, infighting and indecisiveness with leadership struggles over the years. For years, according to the article, for years, the ECN, and we're talking about the Engineering Council of Namibia, because what is the election? Election is also ECN, isn't it? So we're not talking about ECN, the election commission of Namibia, I think is the same thing. So now the ECN, the Engineering Council of Namibia, has been grappling with internal issues. So this is not a new thing. All right? This is not a new thing. And so my question already, I'm asking already, so why now? All right? So why this is now happening now? So, and the reason why I'm asking this, if this is something, when you read this and this is now, you know, if this is something that have been happening for years, it struggles over the years, you know, the infighting and the indecisiveness with the leaderships has been there for years. Why now? So in your mind, with our minds, you know, as journalists as well, you're always that been curious. You're this curious. Is it because is it now because the previous government, the previous administration didn't find it deep enough to actually do something? Have I just that let it go? What was going on? Or is now a tipping point that this has been going on and now this is the tipping point? Or is this a move to finally maybe bring order after a prolonged period of dysfunctions? So you have all this question in your mind, and that's why I'm asking, why now? So, but it's also in the article. The article also say, this is something that we would like to hear. It's something that we, you know, you would love to hear for every minister. So the article also said Minister Nekundi, according to the article now, has a zero tolerance stance on mismanagement and poor governance. Wow. So I don't know whether this is coming from something that has been gathered by the people by when this is now written, because this is love in I'm quoting it from the article, whether the article got that now as a fact of knowing the persons, or also based on what he has been doing, you know. So then, as I said, you know, when I said, why now? Maybe that's the answer. The answer would be then, the Minister Nekundi, according to the article, has a zero tolerance stance on mismanagement and poor governance. That is a powerful statement. And we wish that we can be able to say something like that for every minister. It's not just Minister Nekundi. That we are able to say that for every leader, actually, not just, you know, Minister Nekundi. So that we can be able to say there is a zero. The reason why this is happening is because there is a zero tolerance stance on mismanagement and poor governance. So we that's exactly what we want. That's why I said that's a powerful statement. And yeah. So, but then when, according to the article, when we asked for comment, he was really tight-lipped, promising a statement later. All right. So this is where now we, as unpacking the day, we should put on our unpacking hat. Okay. So we should now be able to put on our unpacking hat. So now, well, declining to elaborate even on such a significant decision can sometimes signal, well, maybe a desire to control the narrative. That could be the case. Or perhaps also the situation is so complex that a full statement is genuinely needed, and we will be watching for that. Let's not spend much time on that one. So, but I'm just to indicate that as well. So we're going to go to the break, and then we will get into this. All right? Stay tuned.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Okay, welcome back. Now, with Minister Nekundi, the whole thing with him, it was about dissolving the board. And the question is, and this is a deliberate question, but what does dissolving the entire board? So the entire board was actually being dissolved. All right? So, and I want you to think, don't just, as I said, we don't just skim the headlines. We go deeper into this. So, but what does dissolving the entire board mean? What does it mean? Now, the reason I'm asking this question is this. Does it mean every single member? Well, it means every member. Maybe you say, well, it means every single member is out anyway. Yes, that I understand. That means every member of that committee, of that board, is out. But the question is, my question I'm asking, by dissolving the entire board, what it means is that, is it fair? So, is there a possibility that some members were working diligently and ethically, but we're just caught in the crossfire of collective. Now that's the point, collective responsibility. So now imagine if you were part of this member. Now if you were part of this board, you are a board member, but you're working diligently and you're working ethically, you were not, but just because now you are caught in this crossfire. So taking this collective responsibility, is that fair? That's what I'm asking. Is actually that fair? Because now you are part of this mark, this stink. So you are, the whole of the board is dismissed, but you are also included in which way you were probably doing your work. So now you're also seen in the same light as maybe two or three people that make the minister actually decide to dissolve the whole thing. Now, the article itself touches on this with the, let me give an example. You know, the reason why I'm asking this coming from the ECN is that the article itself also touches on this with the Katima Mulilo situation, acknowledging that not every councillor, this is now with the Katima, is that not every councillor might have been involved in questionable decisions. So when now you have to dismiss everybody, we now, from outside, we now judge that everybody has been the whole, you know, the whole board has been actually involved. That's a collective responsibility. Is it fair when you're talking about collective responsibility? What about individual responsibility? And this is actually now raises, if you think, and I want you to think, this is raises a critical question about due process. Okay? When you dissolve a board, are you giving individual a chance to be heard? Are you giving individual a chance now to be heard? Or is it just, you know, Is this just a swift surgical strike to remove the perceived rot, this, including everyone? Even if it means thou collateral damage to members who were working diligently and ethically. Now, so you also include them in there. This just, you know, remove every, you know, what we perceive to be a rot. So, and that means even it doesn't matter. Even it's also it means a collateral damage to other members that might have been really ethical or whatever what was going on. So that due process. And think about that. Man. We're also gonna we're gonna talk about also the. Now we're talking about, is that fair? I just want you to think of it. Would that be fair, really? Imagine if you were one of the board member that actually doing your work. Eh? So now let's move to, we will probably understand this better now. Let's move to Minister Sankwasa and the Katima Mulilo Town Council. This is perhaps even more dramatic. So the entire elected council, the entire elected council, gone, boom, all right? So the reasons cited are pretty serious. The reasons that are cited are really, really, really serious. Poor performance, unlawful land transactions, financial mismanagement. Those are some of the reasons why they were dismissed. So the example given is also astonishing. The example given is also very astonishing. Trading valuable, appreciating land. You know, this is a valuable and appreciating this immovable, you know, property for a depreciation asset like vehicles and drones. So this was now the example that the minister actually was giving in terms of financial mismanagement and unlawful land transactions. So one of the examples he has given is that, you know, there was this trading land, which is actually trading that valuable land is appreciating all the time, and with something that have a depreciation value, like vehicles and drones. So, and think about that. Think about that in a moment, okay? Really think about that for a moment. Now, we're talking about tangible fixed assets that hold their value being swapped for things that lose value the moment they are driven off the lot, you know? So now this is the town council we're talking about. So this point to a potential, when you think about probably a potential profound misunderstanding of asset management, or worse, could be worse, something more deliberate. Maybe it's not really that people don't understand asset management. It just probably maybe is something that is being done deliberately. So now, Minister Sankwasa very clearly spelled out his reason, his rationale. He's talking about land appreciating and vehicle depreciating. It's quite simple. Relatable analogy that he used that resonate with any homeowners or car owners. So yeah, it does quite make sense. All right. He also highlighting instance where directive were ignored. External lawyer was hired at a significant cost, about 60,000, and he was just 60,000, you know, that was actually paid by Tudera. This is now to solve internal dispute, which internal dispute resolution mechanism should have been actually used. Eh? So, but then they have to hire about someone who have been paid about for 60,000 for things that actually they could actually have, should have actually been able to solve with, within themselves. So this is the kind of the kind of inefficiency that cripples local authorities, especially those struggling financially. So 60,000 for things that you actually can do, can be able to deal with yourself. So now, what particularly interesting here now is the concept of collective responsibility. Do you understand? That's where I'm coming from. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm actually going. So the collective responsibility. The Minister Sankwasa is quoted as saying that in the absence of official minutes, he said, in the absence of official minutes, the council must take a collective responsibility. So you remember when I was saying, you know, earlier on in the case of Minister Nekundi, so that whole concept of collective responsibility. So here the minister is saying, you know, that in the absence, because how do we know who have been really who have been doing their work, you know, as they should, or who haven't been involved? So, but which also require you to do some investigations, and investigation could involve and interviewing people, and until you find out, because now you just actually, this is the whole question. This is my whole point. The council now must take a collective responsibility. So, and this is the contentious. Is it contentious? Contentious. It's contentious point. Contentious. Yeah, contention. Yeah, it's a contentious point. This is the contentious point. So in Namibia, well, indeed in many democracies, we elect individuals. But when a council acts as a unit, so now these individuals, once they become a council, they become a unit. And the decision-making process is not perfectly, if the decision are not perfectly documented, as the minister says. So the minister is essentially saying the whole body is accountable for the action of the sum. So because there are no document, that actually can be able to tell who is who, what is what, and therefore the minister is saying the whole body is accountable for the action of some. So it's like saying, you know, if one person in a family misbehave, you know, the whole family gets punished. Well, it's a tough call. I think one of that may, many of us will debate. So, which you will debate, definitely. So maybe the question is, okay, maybe the question is this a necessary, now, is this a necessary measure to ensure accountability? Or does it now erode the principle of individual responsibility? Does it take away the principle of individual responsibility and due process of council members? Well, so those are tough questions. The article also mentioned that the council was given a right of reply. So they were given a right of reply and failed to respond. Now, this is very crucial. So if they were given a formal chance to defend, you know, to defend themselves or present their side of the story and didn't, then the minister's hand is arguably strengthened. So they just actually strengthened the minister's course of action. So, however, we also need to understand the nature of that notice, all right? Because we have seen some, I mean, if you follow the news, not only in Katima, but in other areas as well, when he was, you know, going around. So now the whole thing is also, was it clear? Was the notice clear? Was it given with sufficient time and proper channels? Because also that's very important. Because at one point there were somewhere we said, yeah, we received the letter, but there was not even a signature of the minister. So we will continue this after this one.
What does financial inclusion look like in Namibia and Africa at large? Tune into Financially Included, where money meets access. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM to hear about the different opportunities, services, and methods that foster financial inclusion in the country and the continent at large. Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
All right, welcome back. So, yeah, as I said, so the article also mentioned, I said, the article mentioned that they were given the right of reply, which actually they failed to do. And what I'm saying is also that we also have to understand the nature of that notice. How was it given? Was it very clear? Was it given with sufficient time and proper channels? Because that's very important. And these are the nitty-gritty details that can make or break, and believe me, these are the nitty-gritty that can make or break the legality of that, of such decisions. And over the course of time, we will be able to know. So remember that these are elected, you know, councillors. All right. So those are things that we need to pay attention to. So the minister is now personally overseeing the council, and this is a temporary measure, of course, until administrator is appointed. So, but it also signals the severity of the situation. So, because he's not just pointing finger from his office in Windhoek, so he is on the ground in the Zambezi as we speak, you know. Well, I don't know whether he's there now. So, so he is on the ground in the Zambezi region, managing this transition, you know, of getting someone, an administrator, being appointed. So, and this is a hands-on approach coupled with the community's reception. Because the community, there was a meeting, and there was this loud applause and the resident expressing happiness and welcoming the move. So, and that kind of reaction suggests a disconnect. It really suggests a disconnect between the council and the people they were supposed to serve. So when now people are applauding, loud applause and resident expressed happiness, is definitely suggesting that there has been a disconnect between the council and the people they were supposed to serve. So the resident comments also, they have some comments about ignored petition. Remember the ignored petition and persistence issues like potholes. You know, those paint a picture of a council, really of a council that had lost the trust of its residents, of its populace, you know. So now, let's look at the broader implication. Okay, I just give you really what the nitty gritty of what is going on. So, but let's now look at the broader implication. What are the broader implications? This is more than just a story about two ministers. So it's a comment on governance in Namibia. So basically, so now we have minister. So and I want us to think really. You know, let's put on those thinking caps. So we have ministers exercising significant power. some time, swiftly and decisively, as we have seen. And on one hand, this can be seen as a positive sign of proactive leadership, you know, a willingness to tackle corruption and inefficiency head on. So, and it is a signal that the government is not just a talking shop, you know. Decision can and will be made. So we can see that. All right? So, and we want that to happen when it's done according, in accordance with the law. You're following? All right. Now, however, it also raises question about the balance of power. So you hear that when people actually, you know, those found themselves on the other side of the decisions are talking about, you know, that is not what the law is saying or whatever the case may be. So now, as I said, it also raises question about the balance of power. What are the limits of a minister? So what are the limits of a minister's authority to dissolve democratically elected or appointed bodies? Now, think about it. Think really about it. So because these are, when you have a power to dissolve these democratically elected or appointed bodies, so are these actions setting, now when you look at these actions, okay, and remember what I said earlier on, you know, so, and now I want you to think, okay? Are this action setting a precedent for how we handle governance issue moving forward? Will we see more such swift dismissal, or maybe were this just specific to these extreme circumstances we just probably described now? So let's also look at Namibian context, okay? Let's look at our context. We are a young nation still building those strong, robust governance institutions. So we have seen instances of corruption and mismanagement in various sectors. So some moves that appear to tackle these problems can be very, 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 very popular. You understand? So because we have seen so many instance of, you know, corruption and mismanagement, and when we see this, it's something that resonates with most of us, what we want. So, but as we celebrate the potential, you know, that potential for accountability, we must also be vigilant. We must also be vigilant the potential for overreaching, you know, the potential for overreaching or political motivated decisions. We must also be vigilant, as I said, as we celebrate that potential for accountability. So we must also be vigilant really about the potential of for overreaching, or maybe even politically motivated decisions. So now, is there a risk that this power could be used to silence? That's also something you can think of. Is there? So let's say, for example, I am a minister. In this case, let's look at maybe PDM is the government, and you have a council. The council is just a whole of that town is just SWAPO or LPM or whatever the case may be. So it doesn't matter who they are. Is there a risk that this power could be used to silence dissent or punish the political opponent, even under the guise of good governance? So that can be abused. All right? So another angle to consider is the role of oversight. Okay? Think of also the role of oversight. While the minister, so think of this, while the minister is stepping in, what about the parliamentary oversight committees? What about the Auditor General's office? So these bodies are very crucial for ensuring that ministerial action are themselves transparent and accountable. So now, are these decisions, are these dismissals, a consequence of report from these oversight bodies? Or this is just a proactive move by the ministers themselves? Well, the article doesn't explicitly state this. So, but, you know, those are very important things to think as well. So, and what about the ECN? So now you have, when you think of the ECN, think of this also now, earlier on that we talk about, the engineering profession is vital for our infrastructure development. Now, dissolving the board, especially if it leads to a prolonged period without a functioning board, that could actually impact a service delivery, could also impact, you know, professional standard and the issuing of licenses as well. So now it is necessary intervention, definitely. It is necessary intervention if the board was truly dysfunctional. And that's also my question, where that collective responsibility comes in. If there were some other people who were doing their work ethically and diligently, now you have nothing. If it then takes long to actually then recruit another board, then what happened now to the impact that this would have to the service delivery, to the professional standard, and also the issuing of license? Because that's not going to come to a standstill. So, but as I said, it is necessary. It is necessary intervention if the board was truly dysfunctional. And of course, that there must have been all this have done, you know, but the transition need to be smooth and efficient as well. That transition need to be smooth and efficient because, you know, either the service will suffer. So we have two ministers taking bold steps. Minister Nekundi acting decisively on a board with a history of internal strife, and Minister Sankwasa, you know, stepping in with force to address alleged financial impropriety and what seemed to be a breakdown in the relationship between the Katima Mulilo Council and its residents. So now both are tapping into, now this is where now the headline comes in. Both are tapping into what the article calls unfamiliar governance territory. So it is unfamiliar because it is very swift, it's quick, it's sweeping, and it challenges the status quo of how normally, you know, for what we have been for years, the governance issues are typically resolved. So we haven't seen for quite a while things actually being resolved in this way. So, and I want to pose a couple of questions as you're coming in, okay? And I want you really to think. It's not just a matter of talking. So these are not, I don't bring these things up here just for the sake of discussing. So I want to pose some question for you, our listeners, to ponder seriously on these issues, okay? And as you come through, you're kind of answering some of these difficult issues to deal with. Now, do you think, okay, these dismissals are justified? So now, given the circumstances described, you know, we look at the situation that leads to the dismissals, and we tease out some elements, yeah, that maybe we needed to consider and all that. Now, do you think this dismissal are justified, given those circumstances as we looked at them? Now, one thing that I'm looking at is also the collective responsibility. So, is a collective responsibility the right approach when dealing with a council mismanagement, because this could be, you know, today is Katima Mulilo, that could be too. Next time it could be Otapi or Ucho or whatever, you know. So is a collective responsibility, and being part of, let's say for example, being part of the board or being part of the council, you know, and you are doing your work, you are not involved in any other things, that is a collective responsibility the right approach when dealing with a council mismanagement? So I have other two more questions after this.
The International University of Management, IUM, is excited to announce that applications for the 2026 academic year are now open. Explore a wide range of qualifications across our dynamic faculties and school. Faculty of Environmental Management and Sustainability Sciences, Faculty of Health Sciences, Faculty of Information and Communication Technology, Faculty of Strategic Management and Business Administration, School of Primary Education, School of Secondary and Postgraduate Education, Postgraduate Studies, and the Graduate School of Business. Whether you are in Windhoek, Kurunkuru, Enana, Ongwediva, or Walvis Bay, your future starts at IUM. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. Go ahead, make the right choice, and step into your future with IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
All right, welcome back. So now, my other two question is, so remember, do you think these dismissal are justified given the circumstances that we looked at? And the other question is collective responsibility, the right approach when dealing with this council mismanagement, and think of the future issues? And what safeguard should be in place really to ensure that the ministerial power do dissolve board and council is not abused, you know? So that's what safeguard should be in place to ensure that ministerial power to dissolve boards and councils is not actually abused. And then finally, what does this tell us about the health of governance and accountability mechanism in Namibia today? So those are the questions, and you're welcome to come through. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Mr. Mike.
Yes.
You have tempted me to come into your show.
You're most welcome.
On this very topic here. It's quite very tricky.
Yeah.
In terms of how the power is being, you know, used.
Yeah.
Of course, the human beings, the levels of temptations as to how far one can go.
Yeah.
And the boundaries thereof that are set so that the other person may not abuse power.
Mm.
But I think that in my analysis, as I have all my ears on the ground and looking at and observing and, you know, looking at the groups, how people are discussing.
Yeah.
From what I'm picking from the groups, for the period of almost 10 years.
Yeah.
I think the Katima Mulilo Town Council, whatever happened was long overdue.
Mm.
Yeah, just looking at what we, you know, from what I'm gathering on the ground from the people's views and especially the residents, because they are the ones that put people into positions.
Yeah. So from that point, before you go on, before you make other points, the earlier owner asked that question, so why now? And this is exactly now what you're saying. That has been something overdue for many years. Now, my question is also looking at, for many years, we have those previous administration, previous government. Why haven't actually they dealt with that? So has it reached now a tipping point now? Or is it just because a new government now want to deal with it? Why now? Why hasn't been dealt with?
You see, every lock has a key.
Yeah.
You will not force a key you will not force a key to open a lock which is not designed to open it.
Mm.
So I think they have found the correct key for the lock.
Okay.
Yes. They have found the correct key for the lock, and that's what happened. So there is a tendency in the political spectrum of, you know, somebody getting to the level where they think they are untouchable.
Mm.
And then they, you know, the mismanagement and the abuse of power become rampant.
Yeah.
It becomes a... They create a kind of a mushroom cloud, shielding themselves. Because they have found loopholes in the system that, you know, work to their advantage.
And they create that web, you know, yeah.
Mm. And it creates a web because it's a syndicate of people who know each other's, you know, secrets, and nobody wants to stand up to the other because.
Yeah.
I know what you do. Also, so you press a button. I also have the remote.
Mm, yeah.
So that type of thing. So it either you come and destroy the device itself, so that even if they have the remote, they will press buttons and nothing works. And I think that's what the ministers are trying to do.
Mm.
And also looking at how SWAPO has been losing, you know, ground to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I think SWAPO is tired of this, you know, aftermath.
Yeah.
And this embarrassing, you know, aftermath after elections where they have to lose, you know, and they are trying to fix that by removing rotten tomatoes among themselves.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So it's a complicated situation.
Yeah, no, it's not simple.
It is also, at the same time, playing to the advantage of the residents that have been crying for long, wanting a change, and it doesn't come.
Okay. The other thing maybe I want you to touch on is the collective responsibility. So where now, as I said, among those, whether it's the dismissal of the board or dismissal of the council, and even the minister himself said not all of them maybe have been involved in what is happening, but in the absence of the document, let's say minutes that highlight what happened, so there will be that collective punishment, if you like. So now I'm saying, your name, you have been one of the good counselors, but your name has gone with what happened, with what had transpired. Is that fair?
Well, you see, there are situations where we are dragged in situations.
Yeah.
Automatically, because we are present in the vicinity of whatever, in the vicinity where whatever is happening.
Mm.
For example, if you get into a building and the building collapses, it will not count that you just came in or you live in that building.
Mm.
Whatever will be found there will under the falling, you know, whatever.
Mm.
So that's how it is. That's why it is very important for councillors to be mindful of their actions and steps, because at the end of the day, the broom comes for everyone.
Mm.
So there are situations where innocence will not count.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, because you are in the vicinity where whatever is happening. For example, if you are in a car and the car overturns.
Yeah.
It will not count that you are not the one that was driving. No, the car is overturning and everybody will fall.
Yeah, or the other things what they say. What is the word they use when you are liable to, if these things are happening and you're looking at it, you're not doing anything, you are as well as responsible because you haven't done anything.
Exactly. So because you have not done anything, you are an accomplice automatically.
Accomplice, yeah.
That's
whether
you know that or
for.
You don't know it.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, innocency doesn't count when real practical situations appear. Whether you are innocent or you are not innocent, it will not count.
Mm.
And that's how, you know, that's why everyone, you know, working in the government offices need to be mindful of that. Because most of the time, you know, government officials and you know, employees forget that they are not working for themselves. And you see, and you also look at the arrogance of the town council, you know, members.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't really have a remorse from the CEO to the mayor. You see that there is no remorse whatsoever in everything.
Mm.
This shows to everyone that there had been a very strong founded web structure that was built, you know, to give the officials some sort of security, to think that they are untouchable, they are shielded from whatever it was. So now that's how it comes now to say there will be some violation of power.
Yeah.
For you to be able to come in and intervene, you have to a certain extent violate certain power for you to rescue, you know, the vulnerable.
Yeah.
You will be tempted to abuse power to a certain extent because this is a well-structured syndicate.
Yeah.
And it will require a strong arm to kind of like strike it out. I think the people that will argue to say maybe the minister abused power, might be correct, but at the same time, you need to abuse power to rescue the vulnerable because they are the ones that are trapped in between.
What is actually going on. They are actually the one who are denied the service that they would actually deserve. They are the one who is suffering from what is happening. Yeah.
Exactly. If you look at roads in Katima, you go into Katima right now and look at the road infrastructure.
Yeah.
It's way dilapidated. And with little effort from the town council to fix the issue.
Mm.
And if you look at sewer, kind of like sewer water moving up, you know, flowing up and so forth, it's kind of, it's something that is, you know, sickeningly tiring, from that level. And you see now added together with the, you know, with Red Force, coming in to sort of like rescue the town council in getting the money from the residents, and they are doing it in a according to what we are hearing. And of course, this is coming from the Sizuma program on how people, you know, talk. You know, and the minister coming in to say Red Force should be out. This is to the, you know, to the joy of the citizens.
The residents.
Mm. And the residents are now, you know, rejoicing because they feel that they are removed out of Egypt into some desert, waiting at least to arrive into a promised land of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a complicated situation.
Mm.
That because some other opposition, parties are complaining to say, no, you were just supposed to fire your own.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ours. But the issue is that if the tree has to fall, there is no innocent branch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it means that the tree should fall from the root to the last branch.
Yeah. No, Tade France, let's see what others have to say on this topic. And thank you for coming through, yeah?
Thank you.
All right. Very good morning to you. And there are issues that are really that are not easy to deal with coming through this the stories that we are unpacking this morning. So you're most welcome to come through. So please do come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So these are big questions. And there are no easy answers. Definitely there are no easy answers. We have heard from the article that residents in Katima Muliro are largely positive. So, and that is a significant indicator. That's a significant indicator, but the effectiveness and legality of this action will be also tested, hopefully in the coming days and in coming weeks and months. All right. So, Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning. How are you, Mike?
How are you, man?
Good.
Mm.
Yeah, I think most of whatever the ministers are doing so far,
yeah.
I think these are the two ministers that are showing, working for the nation.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm saying that, why? You see, people have created a cartel.
Have created the cartel. Yeah. What is that?
Yes. It's a group.
Oh, a cartel. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. I got it now. Oh.
Yeah.
So just hold on 5 minutes, for a commercial quickly. Yeah.
All right.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
All right. So let's go ahead then. Yeah
let's go ahead.
Mm.
Okay. You know, they have created that it's only us. If you look at, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You find that either, whether it's councillors or whatever, councillors, I don't have a problem with whoever is voted. But if you look at the board of directors, most of them, they are the same people who failed the nation.
Mm.
And they have just been recycled. You find the person is in four boards. And all those boards where he is, they don't perform.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's how you're saying that that's how they make actually that cartel. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Remember the president some time back, the former president, Pohamba.
Yeah.
He said, you have created this environment as directors or board of directors or managing directors that we just fire you unlawfully.
Yeah.
Eh? Then you take the company to court, then you go win $3 million.
Yeah.
He said at one point, because why? You look at the trend, how things are done. The town council of Katima, I think it was long overdue.
Mm.
People come and say, no, but the minister, I have done this and that. But the primary objective, and that's where I always go to, what is the primary objective of the council?
Mm.
What is the primary objective of the board of directors? What is the primary objective of top management of any organization?
Yeah.
What is the primary objective of government? What the primary objective of the cabinet is to serve the people.
Yeah.
Yes. Everything is to serve the people. Now, if at the point where the people are not served, what must be done?
Mm.
You see, this is where we are saying these guys are not going to, because they are not honorable. Eh? They are not going to recuse themselves. And as no, I think due to these things, I think we have failed. Eh? So we are going to step aside or step down. No. They will continue because for them, they feel this is the way we can run. It's power. We can show power.
Yeah.
You see? Now, whether opposition or not opposition, I think Keith at the France put the analogy very well.
Mm.
Eh? If you are in a plane, it doesn't matter whether it's your first time or not, and the plane is going to crash. If you survive, you are lucky.
It doesn't matter how whether you are a friendly or a nice person, and you are with the criminals in the plane. You are all going to all going to crash.
Mm. Is it? So and that.
But my question, I understand, and I understand what Master Franca said. But my question still actually stands: is it fair though?
Fairness comes in with when the people were not saved.
Yeah.
Was it fair? You never came out and said, no, me, I'm against it. Okay, if it was not fair to you, why didn't you resign? Because you are honorable.
Mm.
So, there's nothing like it should be fair only when it's come to you. But then, if it's fair, you want to be treated fair, you would have said, no, Me, you see, that's why I resigned, because I realized what we are doing is not right. But as long as you did not resign, you were also happy.
Yeah.
So don't come to say, no, my party was what was. I said it many times. I said, if you look at how the government used to run, or the government was run before, let's give credit to this one. We don't want to judge them. They are beginning. But we can see some of the ministers, some of them who are working.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Let's give them the credit. Previously, I said, we have got a red line. Eh? There was opposition. Eh? Who was fighting against
the
removal
the
of the red line? Yes. Opposition fighting against the removal of the red line. Government was fighting against the removal of the red line. When Job took them, okay, maybe he moved out of support. Now he took them to court.
Yeah.
You get me? They still fight tooth and nail to keep it. And then they come and they say, in one country, the laws, what the colonial laws. But who is fighting for that colonial law to be kept?
Yeah.
The same people we elected to go to parliament. Is not so? So, assuming that one day, the people decide to fire all of them. Eh? The people said, no, we are not going to vote. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
With the people, with the politicians.
Now you're making the point. Now you're making point. What about now? They fire the whole parliament, including our job.
Yes. The people says, we are not going to vote until you tell us that you are going to remove the red line. You are going to do this. You are going to do this. We are not going to demand. Because you thought that's what you could do, but you could not do it.
Yeah.
And then the people decide to fire the whole government and parliament by not voting. Oh, the politicians start complaining that no, people are not safe.
Yeah.
And this is why we are saying, that's why you see that, if you look at the board of directors at the ECN, that day, Polytechnic was one of them. I was there when I started. I will be honest with you.
Yeah.
In that class, when we entered in that first time, we were taught it was not meant for blacks. That was Vasafa.
Yeah.
That time.
Yeah.
Then we went, we challenged, you know, all odds, we went and we managed. And then there was a point where it came where I can guarantee, I went to the minister. That time it was Tatenash as the Minister of Education.
Yeah.
To complain, Chivikwa was there. He still remember me, my meeting and him there. I said, how is it possible that something that was brought on earth cannot be achieved by the people who live on earth? How? Because if you're telling me that engineering was not meant for blacks, who was it meant for? And why did it come to the black people?
Yeah.
To fool us around. Then we challenged a lot of things there. That's why you saw that now people, they could show their potential. We kept, I'm honest, I'm trying to be honest. This is the honest truth. Eh? When we came, I joined Telecom, I was taught this. That project was for white people.
Yeah.
And these guys were not even educated. They taught us whatever they taught us. When we came in, we performed better than those guys to the extent that even their performance, which they used to give as an award, shattered down.
But definitely, I mean, the person who was saying that is also saying it out of ignorance. It's not because it is what it is, but it's also what they believe. But they believe that out of ignorance. Yeah.
Yes. And then they went further. That ECN for registration, because there was a point one of them, my friends, she cried that day. I can guarantee you, it was so painful. You know? That's why I stood up for the people. I said, look, this is not going to happen. Yes. In as much as they fear this white guy, I'm going to challenge him. I'll take him on.
And look where we are now. Yeah.
Yes. People are passing there. You can go. If Vasafa is still alive, you know, he knows me. He can attest to that. Yes. Telecom, they did the same thing. We went there, we performed. Look at how the young people and the ladies, whoever, they are performing. Why? We are there. We are encouraging each other. You see? So, the primary objective is to save the people.
Yeah.
Even if we are looking at the point of what are we doing in telecom? Who do we serve first? You know, some people, they said the rural areas were not attractive for business. I said, look, the people in the rural areas pay as you go. That's what they say. Pay as you go.
Mm.
They'll pay you before they use your service. The people in the cities, they use the service, that's when they pay you.
Mm.
Now, who do you value? I was asking this thing to marketing guys. Eh?
Yeah.
Do you value a person who will pay you after they have eaten your food? Or you value a person who pays you before they eat the food?
Before you even start cooking. Mm.
Yes. Who do you value first? You know, and that's how most people have started understanding that the $10 I want to neglect in the village, in the rural area, that is coming from one of our grandmother, grandfather, young father, young sister, who cannot get a contract, whatever. They pay as they go. So these are your customers.
Yeah.
Value them.
Okay, let's see if we can get someone else again.
So, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all, all these things were overdue.
Yeah.
And the minister Nekundi and my uncle, the Sankwasa, they are doing a very good job.
Yeah.
Even Nekundi, you can ask him. He knows at point when he was the SRC there.
Yeah.
He knows all these things. It's not that he doesn't know that ECN. He knows it very well. He was here.
Hmm.
He fought with us one time when they were told that when there was a demonstration here, and then they were said, engineering students cannot come to demonstration. You know, then we went there. I was with him there. So it's not that he doesn't know. He understands it very well.
Yeah.
Where we are coming from and where we are going.
All right.
Thanks.
Great, man. Thanks for coming through. A very good morning to you. You can bring in your opinion as well. You can react to our discussion and today's stories that we're following, that we're unpacking here on Unpacking the Day. So our telephone number, 083-366-091. Very good morning to you.
Yes.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, man?
Thank you, my brother. Just adding on top of what the last caller. Yes, of the fairness of the minister who fired the whole entire council of Katima Mulilo.
Yeah.
And possibly with the also Minister Nekundi, what he is busy with.
Yeah, so...
You see, we are asking on the issue of being fair, to say, was it fair the way the minister acted?
Yeah. No, my question is on the fairness is on collective responsibility.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, okay. Yes, on collective responsibility, the fairness.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, still the question turns again around to ask or to say, were the same people who were fired fair in what they were doing?
Yeah.
Were they fair themselves? Those who are fired, all of them, in whatever they were doing, were they fair? If they are claiming to be not fair the way they have been fired, were they fair in what they were doing? That's my question.
Yeah.
The fact and the truth is they have never been fair, and neither of them will be favored in any way. To be fair in whatever decision that is going to be taken, because them also were not fair in what they were dealing with.
Yeah.
So it has happened just as it has happened. Let it be done, and the old man has done a very good job.
Yeah.
Long live. Thank you.
All right. No, thank you for coming through. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. 083-366-091 If you want to add your opinion or your contribution on our topic this morning. So, all right. So those are some questions that I'm asking. Do you think these dismissals are justified given, you know, if you are following the story, let me just give you before I ask that question again. So, what we looked at is that we have seen, a swift and significant governance action from ministers Nekundi and Sankwasa. All right. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Very good this morning.
Good.
Yep.
Let me tip in.
Yeah.
I think it's just important that there are times that we need to take corrective responsibility.
Mm.
And sometimes this vicarious liability
must be beared
by the people who were to take corrective measures to rectify or do the right thing.
Yeah, just because you haven't done anything, so you kind of let that happen. So you're part of it, even if you haven't done anything anyway. Yeah.
Because if you know that something is wrong, and you are not, you are like, you know, in the Bible, they said, if you are at peace, or you allow something to be done, which you know that is illegal, or unethical, or whatever the case might be, and you fail to report it, or you fail to correct that situation, you are as if you are in agreement.
Yeah, the legal word, you are accomplice.
That's the word that I was looking for, actually.
Yeah.
That's the word that I was looking for. So, you know, it's very difficult to direct the board of directors, because they are supposed to make sure that the management cadre do the right thing.
Mm.
Because most of this board of directors, they have got their full jobs somewhere else.
Mm.
So they only come and oversee the functions of the managers, of whoever in that particular institution.
Mm.
So therefore, there is a need to ensure, because most of them, they will say, no, this is the counselor, this is the SWAPO, this is the IPC, this other one, and they know that kind of blaming game.
Yeah.
Now, if you find yourself in the situation like maybe Mr. Nekundi, and I love the way he's doing it, because he's doing it from the ethical point of view.
Yeah.
Him being one of my schoolmates or classmates, so to say.
Which one, Nekundi?
Excuse me?
Which one, Nekundi or Sangwasa?
Nekundi.
Okay.
Nekundi has done those legal subjects and also leadership and management courses.
Yeah.
That's where we were meeting. And I know he's coming from that servanthood or ethical kind of leadership approach.
Mm.
So if he emphasizing that, and remember, there is a lot of reform that I'm following in the articles and things like that.
Yeah.
The newspaper, I know the publication that you produce.
Yeah.
I read them and they are very informative.
Mm.
So if it's coming from that thing, there's a serious need with the Honorable Sankwasha to really reform and rectify a lot of things.
Yeah.
All those municipal bodies, and they look at the audits that they have done, especially Windhoek City.
Yeah.
There is a lot of irregularity there. I don't want to put myself on the table, but I can put myself on the table because I'm also a victim of that.
Exactly. Mm.
And when people are demanding, for example, it's good. With some of these bodies, they can facilitate, like Red Force and many, many others. They can facilitate those things.
Yeah.
But what they are expected to do must not, shouldn't be at the expenses of the vulnerable people.
Yeah.
I cannot put myself as a vulnerable, But I was made to be vulnerable with most of those entities. I don't know how they were created. No wonder why the president, Mimine Tumbo Ndaitwa, is trying to cut off all those two, the third parties.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the things that they make, they look at their employees there, they look at their pockets, and they also look at many, many other benefits or French benefits that they might not have accumulated if they were to go with these ethical principles.
Mm.
So those are some of the things. And I love how Mr. Sankwasa, but they must also start with it. It's good that Nekundi is there. Mr. Honorable Sankwasa was there already.
Yeah.
But the Minister of Works and Transport and Communication. I think there's a lot of irregularities.
Yeah.
Because any homes, any property that you want might want to engage in, maybe want to possess, want to buy, it is actually through Ministry of Works, Transport and Communication with yeah. City of Windhoek and many, many other cities. I don't know how their connection is.
Okay. So, Angabona, let's see if we can get some others as well to come through.
Mm. Yeah, but I've not concluded. Let me conclude.
Yeah, just conclude then, yeah. Mm.
So, what I'm saying is that all this governance, good corporate governance principle and values that they are trying to reinforce or implement
yeah.
is just a good thing. We need to support their efforts and we make sure that there are no irregularities as it has been going on.
Yeah.
This time is a new era. Thank you very much, Mike, for giving me an opportunity.
Thanks for coming through. All right. 0833-66091. That's a number to call. We are in Odangwe Studio. We coming to you live. So please do come through and have your say. A very good morning to you.
Yes, Brother Mike.
Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, too, Mike.
How was your day yesterday?
Ah, the day was fantastic. Oh. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Oh, no, yeah. That's good to hear, yeah.
Yeah, Mike.
Mm.
What's happening to our two ministers, the favorites in Namibia?
Yeah, the hardworking man.
The hardworking one.
You know, I like where someone said, actually, there was, I was saying at the very beginning that, you know, the reasons why, what did I say at the beginning there? The reasons why I need to see why is the quote. I want to find out the quote. The reasons why, I can't find loud, too far. So the reasons why it's because, Minister Nekundi, doesn't take, zero tolerance I quoted. Yeah, but it's in that line.
Incompetent people. Yeah.
Yeah, incompetence or something. Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah. I'll find it. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, no, zero tolerance stands on mismanagement and poor governance. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so, I actually asked the question, why now? And I said, one of the reasons why, it's because one of this minister now has a zero tolerance stance on mismanagement and poor governance. And that's a powerful statement, actually. Yeah.
That is a very powerful statement. Well, you know, it's a hard time also. I think they learned something from the previous election.
Yeah.
Because now, if you see, Swapo is losing a seat every day.
Yeah.
And then because not only that, because people are looking at how this mismanagement, the corruption in the country.
Yeah.
People then recycle left and right.
And that is just because some of these people are not doing their job. And then
exactly.
Definitely. And that's a good thing to realize that now we need to get rid of these people who actually give us the bad name. Yeah.
I'm telling you, you have to get rid of those.
Exactly.
So, because you cannot keep the people who are making it to fail every day by recycling it. What?
And in the end, it's going to cost you. In the end, it's going to cost you. And if you see that you are going down, 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 down,
what you do is wait until you are under the ground is where you are realizing, no, we're going to fire these people.
Exactly, exactly.
To reflect, what they call this word, to look back, or what you, the word which was used by our later president. It's reflect, just to look back, to recognize yourself. Just kind of like you are motivating yourself, what you didn't do well, now you are collecting yourself. That is what this Nekun is doing. Just imagine, people are buying us a train for 1960 in America. And do you think Calentine is going to work? That's why it dismantled that board member. And again, in the same situation, Namibia Airport, they come up with a proposal to build what officers with a kindergarten, with a gym. Just imagine. You can pay, you want to tell me you cannot pay your own gym to go to the gym, or you cannot go to the daycare in Winduka to leave your kid. So, this is why I'm saying, people have become too comfortable. They don't see us anymore.
And this is the gap. And this is the gap that we're creating. I'm telling you.
The gap grows. It's a syndrome which is in us. Just imagine you're going to work. Okay. You drop your kids in the same office. You go to office. After office, you go to gym. Nothing. Zero, you are not even going to spend anything. You come back. Come on, man.
And the comfort is only created for this elite, while you have massive people actually suffering, the vulnerable suffering.
That's what
suffering.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
That is what, and this statement, when you are saying these things are happening, is where you see people are eating Kenana. Come on, man.
We laugh, but it's true. But it's absolutely true.
I'm telling you, it's not a hurt. It's a hurt. Yeah. When you are seeing these things happening.
Yeah. And now I just watched on NBC. Have you seen the school, I think it's a primary school, those were reciting, yesterday on the heroes. And the heroes.
Oh,
yeah. The school children, they were reciting the poem.
Oh, yeah, I saw them there.
Yeah, that was powerful. Really, highlighting issues like what you're saying.
Very powerful message. Because if you look, especially like Angola, because some of us, we tolerate nonsense.
Yeah.
Let me say like Launa Fiji and the Olundu cancer. They don't, I'm telling you, they tolerate nonsense, those people.
Yeah.
But other people, they cannot. Especially like in the East Kavango, I think.
It's always depending. They don't take it. It's always depending on the kind of leadership you one vote, one put in charge. Yeah. Mm.
But I'm telling you, like Grootfontein is always in the media, in the Katima, and Christmas.
Yeah.
Those three. Those, I'm telling you. But I'm sure this is like what in James, that James Sangwasa, what he did.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. Because he's sending a message there.
Mm.
And I'm sure now a lot of them, they are start doing what they supposed to be done. Because I'm telling you, this council are taking for people for life. Just imagine you are selling a land for a vehicle.
All the report from Auditor Generals, from every council, there are a lot of just mismanagement. Money goes without record and misplaced and,
Nothing. Mm. It's what I'm saying. The other time I was complaining about my town, Elana Fide. What is the use for you to build Elana Fide, a small stadium, instead of building a big stadium so you can keep the money in? For Chula Chula not to go to take money to Oshana.
Yeah. Huh?
People who are having that mentality, we cannot think.
I always ask, what is happening in the towns anyway? Is it because there's Oshikango?
No, you know what is keeping us even moving there in Oshikango, Elana Fiji?
Yeah.
Is it because of Ngungula? If it was no Ngungula, what else?
Yeah.
It's moving in Elana Fiji. Just imagine now. I'm telling you, just fix the stadium for Ponofi. Then you can able, because that one is a big space.
Yeah.
But now, they are building that small, with one stand. Just imagine if you're having, like, we're playing with African Star. How many people are going to be pitching?
Yeah. Mm.
But I'm serious, I'm telling you, we as a councillor, we cannot think, my friend. We are here at the background because they cannot even give you a job for plumbing.
Yeah.
Because we are resident of that car. But also, a lot of it need to be investigated, especially when it comes to women resources. They're only recruiting people from the what? Other region.
Yeah. There's quick commercial coming up, and then we can continue. Mm.
Yeah.
It's time for the ShopRite Home and Appliances promotion. Upgrade your home and live in style with a wide range of products like an Essentials 1.7 liter auto kettle for only 149 Namibian dollars 99 each and a 24 liter Essentials mini oven for only 899 Namibian dollars 99 each. Don't miss out on these special deals and more. Offers valid until 7 September 2025. Only at ShopRite, the home of lower prices you can trust. Always.
All right, let's go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I was concluding anyway. What I was saying is they need to be investigated because the people I was mostly working there are from Oshana, Umshati. And that's the thing. We are having a big region. But the people, you can count them, who are there from representing Wangwena.
Yeah.
They people are free, seriously. And what I'm saying is that region like Okavango and Hangwena, they need to be overlooked.
Mm.
Because I'm telling you, we have people who are suffering. Not only some people which are paying, they are eating manjaja esi, no malakusha, but I'm telling you, we have people when it comes to even water. People are suffering. Just imagine you are driving just a bit from Congo.
Yeah.
Let me say maybe like a 20 kilometer. Just there, but I'm telling you, there's no more safe water.
I know that region because, you know, I used to be a director of a program from the Society for Family Health, and we ran water and sanitation in that region. It's absolutely, devastating. Yeah.
I'm telling you, people are suffering there, my friend. Just imagine somebody walking 50 kilometers to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
What does it tell you?
Yeah.
And you go there, you didn't see, there's a queue. And on top of that, you don't see doctor that day.
Yeah. It's one region that is really, really underdeveloped. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
We need to. That's why. But anyway, Mike, thank you for the opportunity.
No, thank you for coming. Yeah, for coming through, yeah?
All right.
Great. Very good morning. And welcome to, this is Unpacking the Day. And today we're looking at the, good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, man?
Great. With the issue of the question that you ask about the ministers, especially when it comes to dissolving the council.
Yeah.
Maybe one need to, first of all, find out when he requested the council to explain the decision that they have taken.
Mm.
Was it directed to? Did he expect each individual council to bring his side of the story?
Yeah,
because these are council from different political parties.
Exactly. Mm.
So that is the first question. Did he ask each individual council to explain what happened? Now, if that is the case, and none of them decided to explain as an individual, then I think it is just right for them to group them and say, okay, since all of you did not respond to what I requested, then I can dissolve you. But if he did not request individual council member to explain, I don't think he has that right to dismiss the whole council.
That's my point as well. That's where I'm talking about collective responsibility. Yeah.
Yes. I don't think he has, because what if one counsel say, when that decision was taken, I did not agree to that decision.
Mm.
I was the one against that decision. Then, if that is the case, why should that person also be suspended?
Mm.
If he was already against the decision, and he aired his view, his objection.
Yeah.
But now the minister come and suspend or dissolve the whole council.
Yeah.
The problem also we have is when we hear the minister has the power to dissolve the council, then maybe we are not well informed under what conditions.
Conditions, yeah. Mm.
What are the assumptions? Because there must be condition. On the condition that all the councillor decide, or how because something is not clear.
Yeah. So my point is that the action that has been taken should eventually be taken, but should be taken according to the law. Yeah, but yes. I also feel it's unfair if I have been, if I have been doing the work, as I should, maybe also challenge this. Maybe I haven't challenged publicly, but in the meeting that we have, I challenge this, but the decision normally are taken by the majority. So you go with the majority. So now being dismissed, and also now I'm actually the perception of people outside looking at me, that this is what we have been doing, but I haven't been part of that,
Yes.
So that's why I ask, is it really fair? Should we collectively punished by, like that? Hmm?
No, that's what I'm asking. That's the thing that came to my mind. And then the other thing, if you now look at the dissolving, are we really saying that was the only option that is available?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that really the option available? Because I would have, maybe one would have, yes, I know you have that right to dissolve, but is that the only option that is available to deal with a situation like this?
Mm.
Because the fact, just imagine, this guy, what if you did not, maybe the minister could have gone through those who have entrusted this councillor in those office, maybe could have gone to their parties. This is the situation that we have here.
Yeah.
Okay? We want to get the opinion because of the party that have entrusted those people to be there.
Yeah.
So that at the end of the day, when you make a decision, that's why you see in the newspaper, the IPC is saying they are not in agreement with what happened. I think for me it was too extreme, and the people that are saying the councillor, this thing has been overdue for 10 years, but for me, that argument does not hold water, because this guy just resumed their office in 5 years. This is their fourth or fifth years.
Yeah.
So these are totally different people, or with a different, their mandate just started 4 years ago.
Mm. So the other thing is you have the parliamentary oversight committees. You also have the auditor general's office. When you make those decisions, have you get all the reports and what you needed, because these are other bodies that actually should be able to support that decision as well. We don't know exactly what happened. The process that has been followed, but those are just questions to say, when you hear now the dissent, of views from either the councillors themselves who have been dismissed, and this is not just about this, but there are also other situation in other towns as well, where the mayor, was it the mayor or some councillors were dismissed as well. But those are, which said he acted beyond beyond the law and all that kind of thing. So it's just that we hope that it doesn't come back to bite him, But we want people that are not working to be actually dismissed. Yeah.
Yeah. People that are not working, they must be dismissed.
Yeah.
But the only thing is that for us to protect the abuse of power.
Exactly.
And to be fair with each individual, because these are not appointed by one political party. These are from different political parties. So I think each individual is supposed to be addressed separately, not as a corrective. Unless they decided, they have made their position as all the councillors. They said, this is our position as councillors regardless of our political party. Because there can be that situation where all the political councillors from different political parties can come together and say, we as councillor of Katima, we decide, this is our position. Then you can deal with them in that manner, that they have come out. But if they are individual councillors who have not ascribed to what has happened, then I don't think that it was fair. Okay, thank you, man.
No, thank you for coming through. Yeah.
Okay,
great. Yeah, it's good to have. This is what I wanted someone to come to think of, those aspects that is also highlighted. And it's good to have him coming on just to show the other aspect that is very crucial. That's very, 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 very crucial as well. I mean, this is not an easy thing, you know, to look at, but yeah, there are other really important issues as well to look at. Very good morning to you.
Bom dia, família.
Bom dia, como está?
O homem sempre morre com a esperança.
you're getting into the deeper one now, you know. I start to think you are talking about Luvindao now. Yeah.
No. I just want you to learn about a man always will die with your hopes, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopes never die. Hopes never die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Esperanza, yeah, hopes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this morning.
We are fine, thank you. Thanks for that. Yeah, we are doing well.
Okay.
Even though everything's not fine, but that's okay.
That's life, man. That's life. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just think about this increasing of the electricity, but I'll touch base to your point.
You see? Yeah.
Man, the you know when the president, Meme Ndumbo, when people are voting for him. Most of these people who are coming here to say thank you, is they are the one against her at that time, you know. But you know, all of those ministers, for them to do well, because of the president, behind them and say, this is what I want in my tenure.
Yeah.
So I think we need to look for a song. You know that song. I think we'll give it that song.
Yeah.
But now the councillor, which are the one that dismissed at Katima Mulilo. That thing, my brother, if you steal, you steal. If you are thief, you thief. People are suffering if there's no land, there's no electricity, there's no money for cheaper housing. And they are defending people who say that people are doing it wrong. No. And disappearing from there. Yeah. Let us just wait and see what's the problem, why they dismiss him.
Yeah.
Because for them to be dismissed because something bigger than which we know going on already a long time before we open our eyes.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, because just imagine like you are in Kunene or Katima or Kavango, every year we have hunger, but the money is coming every year to minimize this kind of poverty. But people are still dying in hunger because of these individuals who are there. They are playing their system very well. Very
and some money goes back to the treasury.
They go to the treasury when this anti-corruption get some loopholes and see some things are going on. Then when they heard about, okay, we have been hurt, don't touch the man to go back. What about those previous men where they were and nothing been done? Agriculture, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Man is been vandalized. So those people who have been dismissed, when you will know the truth, then you'll be shocked. Instead of defending them now. Let them just be fine. Let us just follow the system to say what had happened for them to be dismissed. Fine. For them, because I cannot just be in the country, people have been poverty, there's no, just like now, the electricity been increased, people have been a better job, a salary doesn't increase. So who are suffering? It's us, the poor.
Yeah.
Yes, we need to see before, and I remember when it was last year when Meme Ndumbo said, no, don't increase, it's the water or the electricity. Yeah. I forgot now. So they need to come up and see and save the people. Because, you know, just imagine you don't have a better job. Now your power has been increased. How will I survive?
Yeah.
Just to make me suffer in the slow motion. Slow motion. It's not good. They need to have to think about it before they do something. Come to the public, engage us, and get our views to say what you think about this.
Yeah.
Don't just increase, put the newspaper and say, okay, tomorrow my things are up. For who to pay? No. These things like this is in the water. This need to really get everybody to be part of to be part of it to see how we think about it.
Yeah.
Are we happy? Are we not happy? Now we just increase the electricity. Now, for who to pay? For you to pay.
All right.
Yes, that's good. Sorry. We need really to look at those kind of things. But the governor who has been dismissed, let them go, my brother. Let them go.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. No, that's a point. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, because you know, it's like I said, some ways writing like 4.6 billion which have been vandalized from them.
Mm.
A lot of money. We got money supposed to minimize this kind of problem we have in our country. But all of you are benefiting from it.
I should have made a lot of difference, actually.
Yes, let them go. I don't feel bad for them. Let them go.
Yeah. So great, man. Thanks for coming through.
All right.
Great. Well, and that brings us exactly at 10 o'clock. Opticop. You know? Yeah. So, thank you for those who participate. And we will be keeping a close eye on this story. I don't think that's the end of it. Minister Nekunti promised a statement will be, you know, essential, you know, and then the appointment of an administrator for the Katima Mulilo will signal the next phase of this governance shakeup. So there's still so much coming, you know, on this aspect, on these stories. So let's we keep our close eye on the new development or further development that will come through on this aspect. So, all right, and that brings us to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day this morning. And let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on the same station, Eagle FM. So I'm going to leave you with Mr. Franz, and he's coming up with Kutha Mosha, another, you know, engaging, analyzing, you know, show that's coming up. So stay tuned, and I'm crossing now over to Windhoek. So move there now. So I'm saying goodbye until tomorrow. Let's do that again.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana na nongeshifa ya ishiwiki.